Well, the last decade has certainly seen a plethora of movies dealing with superheroes. Think of Batman, Green Lantern, Iron Man, the Hulk, Thor. But at least judging by box office receipts, the most popular has been Spider-Man. Since 2006, there have been now four cinematic iterations of this story of this kid who is bitten by a spider and undergoes a great metamorphosis and then catches thieves just like flies. So what's kind of puzzled me and intrigued me over the years is why are these superhero movies suddenly so popular? And why especially Spider-Man? What is it about this tale? And maybe it's to no one's surprise, but I think it has something to do with Christianity. All these figures we're talking about are hybrids. You know, the coming together of the ordinary and the extraordinary. At the very heart of Christianity is a hybrid figure. Jesus, who is both divine and human. Go back to the early centuries, you find the church father Athanasius, who offered this argument for the divinity and humanity of Jesus. He said, if Jesus is not truly human, then he doesn't save us. If he's not truly divine, he doesn't save us. If he's not really human, then somehow his work doesn't apply to us, doesn't have to do with us, doesn't reach us. If he's not divine, then he doesn't really have the power to save us, to extricate us from the swamp that we're in. If he's one more in a long line of philosophers and social theorists and prophets, then he's kind of in the same mess we are, right? Therefore, Athanasius gives this pithy and interesting argument. He must be both divine and human if he's to save us. I think you can see in a lot of these superhero movies, especially Spider-Man, the same idea of a savior figure who's a hybrid of both high and low, of both ordinary and extraordinary, who precisely in his ordinariness is one of us and can touch us and affect us, and who in his extraordinary character can actually do something about our problem. What struck me about this latest version of Spider-Man is the actor they chose, a young Englishman, to play Spider-Man. It was really good because he can look sometimes like a totally geeky kid and can act like a geeky kid, and other times can seem absolutely graceful in the exercise of these godlike powers. His hybrid character is really on display. Here's a second theme that's also Christological that you see in a lot of these movies, especially Spider-Man. The theme of mission and vocation. So Peter Parker, early on in the movie, is bitten by the spider and he suddenly realizes that he has these extraordinary powers. Well, right away, what does he do? Is he taunts and he humiliates and belittles this bully from the high school who had previously, you know, hurt him. Well, right away, his uncle, the famous Uncle Ben, you know, intervenes. Uncle Ben is played by the great Martin Sheen. He was always kind of beautifully understated, I think, in his acting. Well, Uncle Ben challenges Peter right away, you know, so yeah, you've got these powers and what are you going to do with them? Will you use them to aggrandize your ego? To settle old scores, to show off? Or will you use them in a program of love? Will you use them as part of a program to help and to protect and to aid other people? You know? Well, now go right back to the beginning of the Gospels. We have these reports of Jesus in the desert. What's going on? He knows himself to be the anointed Son of God. He knows himself to be the beloved Son of his Father. What's the temptation? Temptation is now to use that messiahship in a way that, you know, feeds himself, that aggrandizes his own pride and ego, and gives him power. So the devil in that story offers to him these misuses of his messianic identity. At the heart of the story, of course, is Jesus resisting those temptations and giving his messianic authority and power over to a program of love, and now his public life, you know, unfolds. Well, I think it's very similar in a lot of these superhero movies, especially Spider-Man. What do you do with the powers you have? And Peter Parker's challenge is to resist the temptation and discover his real mission and vocation. Toward the very end of the movie, there's a scene where one of his teachers, an English teacher, says to the class, now, it's been said there are, you know, 9 plots to every story. There's only 9, you know, basic versions of stories. And then she says, but I think that's wrong. I think there's only one. And it's, who am I? I thought, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad. Almost any story, any movie, any narrative can be reduced to that question. Who am I? You know, discovering your mission and vocation. So I find that very strongly in the, certainly in Spider-Man. Here's a third motif that's I think rather strongly religious. That of the use and abuse of knowledge. So in the Spider-Man story, at least this most recent version of it, you have Peter Parker's father and one of his colleagues many years before, Dr. Connors, are doing experiments with this interspecies, you know, mixing. And in the hopes of dealing with a lot of, you know, really basic human physical problems, you know, to amputee victims and so on and so forth. Are they good people? Yeah. Is it a good program? Yeah. But their hubris is unconstrained. And the results of this grasping at a knowledge that will solve our problems results in disaster. Now that's an old motif. You go back to, you know, Frankenstein and stories like that. It's a similar thing, is that the grasping at knowledge, even out of good motive, if it's not constrained by moral responsibility, can result in disaster. And that, of course, happens in the Spider-Man movie. I won't give away all the details. But now go back to the very beginning of the Bible, that endlessly evocative story of Adam and Eve. And we see that the original sin has a lot to do with the grasping at knowledge. Right? Doesn't mean for a second that knowledge is bad in itself. What it means is if I'm using knowledge in a godlike way, I'm going to claim knowledge, science, progress, whatever term you want to use, as a way of definitively solving all human problems. If I do it in a way that's full of hubris and self-assertion, what follows is disaster. Now, as I mentioned, that story's been told many times. It's being told very strongly in the Spider-Man movie. How do you use your power? That's one thing. How do you use knowledge? Unless both power and knowledge are tied to love, they will eventually turn on you and destroy you. Very clear in Spider-Man, very clear in the Bible. So, as I watch these movies over the past 10 years, you know, and you say, well, they're just summer, you know, popcorn movies. Well, yeah, in one sense they are. But actually, I think the more you delve into them, especially Spider-Man, you'll see that they actually carry a fair amount of theological weight.